Waiting at the entrance to the RuPaul's Drag Race workroom set, inches away from the set lighting and just outside the camera range, a queen with a dream waits for her cue. Tucked and contoured, corseted and wigged, she's got a look sure to make those other bitches gag and a catchphrase just waiting to spring forth from her lips that she's hoping will brand her to the fan base for the rest of her career. Maybe she'll drop to the floor, or maybe she'll pop out of a box, or maybe she'll introduce Ornacia to the world. She might simply announce that she farted, or that she came here to fight. But whatever it is she's got planned, and no matter who she is, she will definitely have something planned. Whether it be shocking, fierce, or hilarious, the one thing she wants her entrance to be, above all else, is memorable. This is the moment she's planned and worked for, the moment when she steps into Drag Race herstory, plants her sequin flag, and announces her arrival. If she's lucky and smart, if she demonstrates the required charisma, uniqueness, nerve, talent cocktail of qualities, this won't be the last time she walks through that entrance. In fact, despite the runway and performance challenges that make up the judging criteria that will decide her fate, her work in the workroom will be the single biggest determinant of how long she gets to stay in the competition. How she gets along with the other girls, how well she sticks to the tasks assigned her, and how much camera time she can snag from the producers will be major factors in deciding how long she'll make it in the competition. She's got to strike a balance here. Come out strong and hard enough to get plenty of camera time, but not make too many enemies or else one of them will throw her under that ever-present reality television bus the second they get the chance.
This is when the world gets to meet me,
our queen is thinking. Then,
are the other girls prettier than me? Are the other girls shady bitches?
From its bright pink pillars to its endlessly repeating shrines to Rue, the Drag Race workroom has become something of a modern-day temple or senate of drag. Inside the confines of its faux brick walls, dreams are made, friendships die, wigs get literally snatched, and yes, lives even change forever. The workroom contains the work tables, the individual queen's corners, and the makeup mirrors, as well as the space where Rue introduces guests and conducts the mini-challenges. It's pretty safe to say it's the heart of the show, but it goes further than that. The main stage is for performing, and the untucked lounge is for family bickering time, but the workroom is for doing the work, both mental and physical, of being a queen in the world. It's the focal point of the queen's existence for their time on the show. It's where they make their first grand entrances and their final sign-offs on the makeup mirror. It's where they receive dignitaries ranging from Nancy Pelosi to Lady Gaga. It's where these queens will wind up sniffing each other out or dressing each other down. It's the space where the queens all retire to the couch to discuss the most recent elimination and the current state of their thoughts, fears, and rivalries. It's where they gather around the table to do a little light reading of each other as they await news for the next challenge. The workroom is the social and work-based epicenter of Drag Race. It's Ms. Cracker at the makeup mirror talking about the empty lunchboxes of her poverty-stricken childhood, or Roxy Andrews talking about her childhood abandonment. It's Asia O'Hara sitting down with the Vixen to get her to talk about her feelings of anger over the racism in the LGBTQ community. It's Katya and Miss Fame reaching out under the stress of the competition to hang on to each other for a second and reinforce their sobriety. The workroom is also where we see all the queens in their boy drag. This was considered a controversial thing to do at the time of the show's launch because drag queens are sort of like puppeteers. They never want you to see the hand up Kermit's butt, so to speak. There was a time when the idea of drag queens appearing on camera out of drag was considered akin to a magician giving away his secrets. Many notable and accomplished drag queens have refused to compete on the show for this very reason. But stripping away the drag is very much of a piece with the show's commitment to showing its full art, which you truly can't appreciate fully without seeing the transformation in process. It's also a way of peeling away any emotional barriers or protections. Rue knows all too well that drag can be a person's way of dealing with the world, And in true reality show fashion, that coping mechanism side of drag is removed in the workroom, leaving the queens without the crutches of their wigs and corsets. It's a place of safety where they can take off their armor. In the beginning, it was a largely undefined space of brightly colored walls, random bits of neon flare, work tables, and makeup mirrors. It would take some time for it to codify and solidify into the sort of backroom Barbie's Playhouse aesthetic of later seasons. In the first few seasons, Rue's suits didn't burn quite so brightly, and everyone looked orange under the lighting. But in the grand tradition of all queer-only spaces, it evolved over time, with improved lighting and spruced-up digs, and it became just a bit more formalized as a space for both gathering and doing the work, or work. Historically, queer folks have always created their own spaces where they could maintain a community, forge alliances, break bread, or just hang out, far from the judgment of people who don't quite understand or who actively want to harm them. It would be nice if we could call them all safe spaces, but for a long time, and up until comparatively recently, there was no such thing as a totally safe space for a queen. Not even if a queen wanted to go out and have a birthday drink. Not even in their own homes.